This evening we turn in God's Word to John chapter 17, our Lord's high priestly prayer. John 17. Considering the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, this part of it, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As the heading says here, our Lord prays for his disciples. John 17, verses 6 through 19. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. And especially these verses. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Thus far, God's word. We turn in the confession this evening, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 52. If you follow along with me on page 63, I will read this question and answer. Again, what does the sixth request mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means, by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment, and our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. That is our confession. Beloved in Christ, the passage we just read is one of the most insightful and precious passages in all the Bible. Here in the Lord's high priestly prayer, he makes intercession on his own behalf, then on behalf of his disciples, and then on our behalf, on behalf of all believers. And in this prayer, we're given a glimpse inside our Savior's heart. We get a sense of his compassion, of his concern. We witness the reverence, the humility he shows toward his Father. But we also get a sense of the sincerity and the genuineness of Christ's love for his own, even his own disciples. And we can hear that within his voice, that tenderness, the concern he has for their well-being. He prays for their spiritual protection, knowing he is going away. He'll no longer be able to protect them in the way he was in the world. Now he prays of the Father, keep them. Keep them safe. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them, keep them from the evil one. And it's worth noting, I think, that the supplications of God's own Son within the very petitions of the Prince of Peace himself, he has a keen awareness of his enemy. He has a keen awareness of the power of his enemy. And if you trace your mind going through all the ministry of Jesus Christ, we know that at no time did Jesus ever underestimate the power of the evil one. At no time did he ignore his adversary or just lightly dismiss him. On the contrary, Jesus recognized Satan as his enemy, as a deadly foe. And he warned his disciples. Think of Peter again, how he warned him. Satan would sift you as wheat. So Jesus prayed that he could overcome Satan. Jesus prayed that his disciples could overcome Satan. And should give us pause. It should beg the question of us, so then what should the content of our prayers be like? If the divine Son of God saw fit to pray for deliverance from temptation and deception and the attacks of the evil one for himself and his disciples, how much more then shouldn't our prayers contain that same petition, that same concern? And the prayer Jesus gave us, he commanded us to do just that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. We're praying, Father, you have made us to be your children, children, citizens of your kingdom. We're no longer of this world, and yet while we live in this world, keep the world out of us and keep the evil one far from us. So this evening we consider the sixth petition where believers rely on God for spiritual protection. This reliance requires that we do two things according to the catechism. First of all, that we admit and confess our own weakness. And secondly, that we appeal to God's strength. First, we admit our own weakness. Looking at that answer, I'm struck by the fact that it really exposes two clear dangers and hazards in the Christian life. Any sincere Christian should be able to read that answer and see that it contains all the necessary ingredients for spiritual disaster, for the perfect storm of temptation and sin. By ourselves, we are too weak to hold our own, even for a moment. That's the first part. And now the second part. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. The first reality, our own weakness, our own inability to stand, sometimes our own inability to even want to stand. By ourselves, we are too weak. Too weak to stand, too weak to resist Satan even for a moment. And it's our inherent weakness, isn't it? And that in itself I find hard to confess. Most of us have inflated egos, an inflated image of ourselves. We like to think that we get along pretty well, that we know sin when we see it. And we certainly know sin in other people, and we would never do what they do. We wouldn't be so foolish. We wouldn't be so gullible as to fall into sin where they have sinned. We like to think that if we were attacked like that, we would see it coming from a mile away, and that we would know what to do. We would know where to go. We would know what to say. We would do the right thing. That's why this is so helpful for us. The truth is, we need to confess this. We are weak, spiritually speaking. And we're all prone to sin. We're all prone to temptation. Who wants to admit weakness, right? We're a proud people. We live in a generation, after all, that says, we can do it. We got this. Only a wimp looks at his adversary and says, I'm too weak to hold my own even for a moment. Yet the Lord doesn't want us praying in sinful pride and self-righteous arrogance. The Lord wants us to pray this in all sincerity, in all truth, honestly admitting what is true of each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, I can't resist Satan's power. I can't resist temptation without your Spirit's power. I can't withstand the smallest temptation. Think of that, boys and girls, not even the smallest thing. Right? We can't do that on our own. We need God's grace, God's protection, God's intervention, his Spirit causing us to obey, causing us to see sin for what it is and run the other way. Well, that's the first part of this perfect storm, this ingredient for spiritual failure. We're weak. And now the other part, it's a scary part as well, our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, our own desires, that they never go to sleep, that they never stop attacking us, right? They're unyielding. They are relentless. They are ruthless. They never tire. They never stop. They never give up. They constantly tempt. constantly entice, constantly seduce and lure us. So in our sinful nature, we're prone to falter, to give in, to want to compromise. Our sinful nature craves what Satan and the sinful world has to offer. Our sinful nature says, indulge in this. Cater to my desires. And this is the essence of man's problem. On our own, we're no match for Satan's cunning devices, his intricate lies, his attractive deceptions. And you know this as well as I do, the way Satan dresses up sin, the way Satan makes it seem so good, so right, in order to snap back to say that word of response and anger that just, boy, I fired that right back at him and it felt good, right? Satan dresses up sin, calling evil good, paving the road to destruction with gold. Think of this description in Proverbs chapter 7, where Madam Folly, who's the adulteress, she calls out to the non-discerning that are going down her street, I've covered my bed with fine linens from Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. How enticing, right? How alluring. What does Solomon say, though? Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chamber of death. That's how Satan, that's how the world and our own flesh entice us and lure us on our own, without the leading and protecting and preserving hand of God and the Spirit of the Lord living within us. We're like sheep, sheep led to the slaughter. If you look under the sentences there of the answer as well, some of the proof text, you'll find two passages footnoted. One is Psalm 103, verses 14 through 16. I'll read that to you a moment. Psalm 103. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, it is gone. Its place remembers it no more. The passage calls to mind our frailty, our temporal nature. Again, our weakness. We are created from the dust of the ground, and the fact is to dust we will return. We're not immortal. We're not invincible. We're not godlike. We're mere creatures. Worst of all, fallen creatures at that. There's also John 15:1-5, the passage you'll recall where Jesus says that he is the vine, we're the branches. And that verse as well, Jesus calls to mind our powerlessness outside of him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, apart from his abiding spirit, his sanctifying power, we are nothing in the face of Satan's temptations. You know, I think here especially of how this is evident even in the world in which we live. I think of the program AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and the 12-step program that they have. It begins with a confession. The first step is a confession of weakness, of inability. It has to do with a person admitting that he is powerless to overcome alcohol or whatever it might be, that life has become unmanageable. And the second step is to confess that he needs a power outside of himself. Now, the program calls it a greater power or a higher power that might restore him to sanity or to health or whatever. So, and the third step there is to make a decision to turn his will and life over to the care of this higher power. So that program, though modified from its original form, now has been implemented for over 6 decades, still in use today. That tells us something. It tells us that even people in the world know something. They know what it means to live in bondage to sin. That it's unable, we're unable in ourselves to escape the clutches of sin, to break those chains of sin on our own. And as Christians, we should know this more than anyone else. We don't need a 12-step program. We need the Word of God. We need to know what's right before us, what God's Word says to us, how weak we are, and how we have that sinful nature, We know the devil's we know the devil's power, his constant temptation. We know the world in which we live is no friend of grace, no friend of ours, helping us along the pathway of righteousness. So in this first point, we're called to simply recognize our weakness, to be aware of the devil's presence in our lives, of his clever deception, his guile, his treachery, his deceit. Satan likes nothing more than when we, God's children, simply forget about him. We underestimate Satan. Or maybe, boys and girls, we forget that Satan's even out there. We hear a lot about God. We hear a lot about what we're called to do, the Ten Commandments, but we forget we have an enemy in our own hearts. We have an enemy in our own home that wants us to fight with our brothers and sisters, that wants to make us disobey God and run away from God and disobey our parents. Satan is at work in our hearts and in our lives. And he has messages that he sends us on the radio, on the television, and even messages in our own hearts and minds how we would want to turn against God and others that love us, that Satan at work. So this is why Jesus again calls us to pray. To pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me, deliver us, the church, from evil. Jesus saw Satan as his enemy. The Bible describes him as the dragon in Revelation, the lion, we talked about that this morning, prowling about. He wants to devour us. But now what about our prayers? Do we pray like the Lord commands us to pray? Do we pray for ourselves each day, praying the Lord would help deliver us, keep us from temptation? Do we pray for our children? You don't have children, nephews, nieces, the Church of Jesus Christ. Again, this is deliver us, right? Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. This is a prayer we make for the church itself as well as ourselves individually. And do we believe that we live in constant peril and therefore in constant need of prayer? And do we set aside our self-confidence, our self-reliance, and humbly confess that we can't do it, that there's no power within us outside what Christ gives us that we can stand? If we don't pray that way, if we fail to acknowledge our weakness in all sincerity and truth, then the reality is we will never be or grow strong in the Lord, and we will never stand at all. So that is first, we rely on God for spiritual protection by acknowledging our weakness. Secondly, though, we do so by appealing to God's strength. So, Lord, uphold us, make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, that we may not go down to defeat in the spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we win the complete victory. As you know, it's been pointed out before that in this petition, we're not praying for the Lord to keep us from any and all temptation. We know that God does indeed allow us to be tempted. He allows our faith to be tried and tested. God even allowed Satan to test Job, to test David, to sift Peter. God even allowed Satan to test his own son. So God himself does not do the tempting, but he allows it. And rather, through Satan's temptation as well, God tries and he tests the substance of our faith. So Satan is tempting and God is testing us to see whether we will stand. Testing and trials, however, can turn into temptations if we fail to stand strong, if we complain instead of praise, if we give in to sin instead of run away from it. And basically we're praying that all circumstances of life, God would give us the power to endure all the tests and all the trials he sends, and all the temptations of the evil one, that we will not fall, that we would not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle. One of the many passages that are worthwhile memorizing in this context is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. God's word says this: "There is no temptation that has seized you, except that which is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it." that you can escape it. I think one of the greatest failures we face when it comes to our own sin and temptation is we're not looking for a way out. We don't necessarily want to escape the sin or quit the sin. We enjoy sin, to be quite frank, to be quite honest. We enjoy certain sins. It gives us pleasure. And we don't want to admit that we've sinned, or we choose to remain blind to it, or we might pretend it never happened. One minister wrote about this, saying that one of the reasons we Christians are so unsuccessful in our battle against sin and Satan is because we are so quick to claim victory when we stand strong, when we overcome that one temptation, because maybe we've avoided eating that forbidden fruit that one time. And yet in our foolish pride and disobedience, we never see fit to flee the devil's orchard. In other words, we never see fit to flee the sin all the way, and we continue to put ourselves in harm's way again and again. That's the way the sinful nature works all the time. We say we hate sin on the one hand, but we always keep sin just within reach. The avenue of sin is open, and we never completely cut it off. We flirt with sin instead of running from it. That's why we have to be sincere in our battle, in our struggle against sin, even in our Christian disciplines, setting ourselves up in such a way so that we might keep evil from us, not putting stumbling blocks in our own path. And what good does it do us to ask God to keep us strong, to impart to us the power of the Holy Spirit, when all along we refuse to keep a safe distance between ourselves and sin? I think as an example, if we're struggling with alcoholism, you know, we don't stroll into the neighborhood bar, sit down on the bar stool, and then say, "Lord, lead me not into temptation. Cause me not to drink this evening." It's too late. You've already put yourselves in a position of failure. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but I think you get the point. We have to be sincere in our request to show by our actions, by our desires, that we want to live in the victory that Christ has won for us, to live in the righteousness that he's won for us. Yes, God is powerful, and God wields power and authority, like we said this morning, over Satan and all of his demons, but God is not going to exercise his power on our behalf if we are not sincere in our prayers and intentions. Our heart, our mind, our will has to be engaged in this spiritual battle. God will not come down from heaven and bounce us out of a bar. God will not come down from heaven and turn off our computer if we're sinning there. God will not come down from heaven and cut our credit cards if we can't stop spending. We have to exercise our will to make a choice to love God, heart, soul, mind, and strength, to resist the devil, to follow and serve the Lord of our salvation, who's made us holy and calls us to be holy. Notice, too, we're told to pray, "Uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit." You know, the same Spirit whom the Father poured out upon his Son to empower him for victory in his ministry, to empower him in victory over the temptations of Satan in the wilderness, even to stand strong in the face of despair, the agony of soul in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then again on the cross, that same Spirit of Christ has been poured out upon us, and he dwells in us. It is the Spirit who does this work, not you, not me. The Spirit makes us. He compels us to godliness. He causes us to resist sin. He makes us hate sin. So we have to make that part of our prayer too, that God would do this in us, that he would cause us to choose for God, to turn away from Satan. So in our daily struggle against sin and Satan, we must call upon God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, to do what it takes within us, that we might have godly desires in our hearts, that desire in our minds to resist Satan, to hate sin, that Satan would flee from us. It's the Spirit then who does this. And we think of that as well. It makes perfect sense because the Bible says our battle is a spiritual battle. It's not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And Paul tells us further that as God's people, we've been equipped to stand. We've been equipped to fight against the evil one with that spiritual armor. Ephesians 6, you boys and girls have that on the back wall in one of the one of the Sunday school rooms in the education wing. That armor of God and that soldier standing there dressed in that armor. Put on the full armor of God. And you know as well what Paul says, we put on each piece with prayer, girding ourselves about with the power of the Spirit. As I said before, if Christ our Savior, who was without sin, found it necessary to pray in the face of temptation, then how can we possibly neglect prayer as well? How can we possibly ever expect to overcome the least of our temptations? If we're not down on our knees every day asking God for grace and strength and protection from His Holy Spirit, we have to pray. Also, we have to take up God's Word, which is the sword of the Spirit. I don't know if you heard that too in the passage we read about Jesus praying for His disciples, but He said, sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. We need to take up the Word of God, learning it, reading it, so that we might hide that Word in our hearts, that we would not sin against God, that we might take every thought captive, that God's Word would regulate and moderate and consecrate our every thought, our every ambition, our every desire. And we need to come to church. We need to come to church, don't we, to hear the Word preached, that we might be confronted again Sunday after Sunday, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, with the timeless truths of the gospel, and be reminded of what our Lord did for us to save us from Satan, to save us from sin, that He poured out His precious blood on the cross for all of our sins. Young people had to memorize that and say that this morning, to free us from what? From the tyranny of Satan, who is our oppressor, our enemy, so that now we could be set free from that bondage to sin, that we would not go down to defeat. In closing, beloved, remember this, Satan is never going to give up. So long as we live and breathe, he will pursue us to the grave. As long as there is breath in our lungs, he will tempt us. I've heard of Christians on their deathbed speaking of how they feel Satan, even then gnawing on them, as it were, tempting them to doubt their faith, to fear in the face of death. So he never gives up. In fact, as the day of our Lord comes closer and closer, you can imagine Satan grows more desperate and even more dangerous. So don't take him lightly. He's out to attack and destroy our life, our marriage, our homes. He's after our children, our young people, the future of the church. He's out to attack our purity, our chastity, our integrity. He's out to attack our ministry, even our unity together. As brothers and sisters in Christ, he wants to destroy that, to destroy what Christ has put together. He's out to attack your pastor, your elders, your deacons, and he will stop at nothing to succeed. So that is why we need to pray without ceasing, that we would never cease fighting with that entire spiritual arsenal which God has given to us. God has equipped us to live as conquerors, to fight against Satan, to overcome him in the power that he gives us. So let's live and walk every day in the strength which God provides. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you have given to us the strength to stand, to withstand the temptations of Satan, to be able to turn away from the desires of Satan, our own flesh and the world. Father, we know that we are weak. We see that every day as we so quickly turn from what is right to what is wrong, as we so quickly say what is wrong instead of what is right, as we so quickly have sinful thoughts come across our minds before we even know what is going on, before we even know what to say. Father, it seems that these thoughts are right there. We see how weak we are. We can't stand on our own even for a moment. And we know that our enemy will never stop attacking us. So we thank you and pray that we might stand in the strength you provide. That through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his precious blood, that we have been set free from the tyranny of the devil. That, Father, now your Spirit would so live in us and protect us and keep us from sin and the evil one and turn us away from sin, that we might come more and more to hate the ways of sin, to flee from unrighteousness, and to pursue righteousness. We pray, Lord, that you will do this in us and for us by your Spirit, by your grace. For again, on our own, we're unable to do this at all. We thank you again for the hope we have of this and for the strength you give to us. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.